up above my head. I hear music in the air. Up above my head. I hear music in the air. Up above my head. I hear music in the air. Whoa, yeah. And I really do believe, yes, I do believe, there is a joy somewhere. All in my room, I hear music in the air. All in this room, I hear music everywhere. All in this room, I hear music in the air. Oh, yeah. And I really do believe, yes, I do believe, there is a joy somewhere.
That's the California Honey Drops in live performance. We'll hear a few other live recordings in this hour because it's festival season and there's music in the air. My name is Michael Goldberg, and I just got back from the 45th annual Winnipeg Folk Festival. Hadn't been in quite a few years, so it was kind of like meeting up with an intimate friend that you haven't seen for a decade. Oh yeah, I remember. This is why I always loved being around you. On today's show, we have a new story from Matthew Miltich about a festival performance recently in Virginia, Minnesota, and a new song from Sheryl Crow, recorded live at the Isle of Wight Festival. She used it in her closing act last week at Winnipeg. And the music doesn't stop. Just coming up in July and August, people are festiving everywhere, dancing with strangers and feeling glad to see so many happy people. Just today at the Woodstock Folk Festival, the one over in Woodstock, Illinois, near Lake Geneva, or planning to go to Burning Cow in Sturgeon Bay, or Porcupine Mountains in Silver City, Bayfront Blues, Big Bull Falls Blues, Lower Town Blues and Funk, in parks and public squares everywhere, it's festival season. And children, I gotta tell you, it wasn't always like this. When Grandpa was a little boy, there might have been outdoor concerts in some of the big cities, maybe an occasional street dance. But on summer evenings, way more people got together to sit separately in their cars at the drive-in movies. That spirit wasn't then as it is now, growing and gathering and getting into people's blood over the past 50 years. Today on Stay Human, some tributes to that festival spirit for how it sustains and renews us. Live music is a big part of what Northern Community Radio means to its listener members. There was the recent street dance in Bemidji, and next year again a series of 9 concerts at the Rife Center featuring new and adventurous musicians, the Great Northern Radio Show traveling around the Northland with musicians from every town of visits, and maybe I'll see you at Northern Community Radio's Mississippi River Festival coming up in just a few days here. If you make it, look for me and say hi. I'll be the guy wearing a hat and looking really happy to be there. Tickets available at the door or through KAXE for Friday and Saturday, July 20th and 21st. Here's one of the bands that'll be performing there, Illa Bamba.
outside the backstage door to breathe some nicotine and maybe check my mailbox, see if I can read the screen. Then I heard a click, the stage door lock. I knew just what that meant. I'm gonna have to walk around the block if I wanna get in. A wristband, my man, you got to have a wristband. If you don't have a wristband, my man, you don't get through the door. Wristband, my man, you got to have a wristband. And if you don't have a wristband, my man, you don't get through the door. I can't explain it, I don't know why my heart beats like a fist when I meet some dude with an attitude saying,
hey, you can't do that on this.
And the man was large, a well-dressed 6'8", and he's acting like St. Peter standing guard at the pearly. Wristband, my man, you got to have a wristband. If you don't have a wristband, you don't get through the door. And I said, wristband? I don't need a wristband. My axe is on the bandstand. My band is on the floor. I mean, it's just right.
Cautionary tale from Paul Simon. The music festivals aren't only about music, of course, and the festival spirit doesn't reside only in music festivals. In fact, there are all kinds of artists around the world who work to bring people together in creative ways. The Twin Cities is fortunate to have a community organization called northernlights.mn. They expand what's possible in public spaces to give us new ways to relate to that shared place and to do it together. They support artists with new ideas and new technologies to create participatory installations and events. I talked to Steve Dietz, the founder and artistic director of northernlights.mn and of one of their annual events, Northern Spark, and I asked him how he came to be a servant of the festival spirit.
The first festival that I founded was called the 01SJ Global Art of Global Festival of Art and Technology. And it was in San Jose, California. And part of the idea was, how can the city and the region understand culture to be as important as other things like commerce, housing, etc.? And in San Jose, they had just built a brand new city hall. And like many cities, it was completely empty downtown after 5 o'clock at night. And so we put together this festival and commissioned an artist to do a projection onto the city hall, and, you know, didn't really know what would happen. And the first night drove by about midnight, and there were hundreds of people just sitting there watching the projection. They brought their own chairs. They were talking to each other. And it really just struck me at that point that a cultural festival that's, you know, urban and within the city and not just hidden away in a auditorium can really change how people interact with and feel about the place they live and even understand the place that they've lived for a long time. And so for me, that was the beginning of being wanting to and being committed to working with a festival format. And when it came to Minneapolis, started Northern Spark Festival in 2011. One of the things about Northern Spark is that it is an all-night festival, at least for the first 7 years. And so it goes from sunset to sunrise. And I think there's that moment toward the end of the festival where there's still hundreds of people around. There's musicians playing. There's activities happening, and you see the sun rising. It's just like, this really changes how I think about walking over the Stone Arch Bridge, even though I've done it, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times over the past X years. That experience of having gone through the night with thousands of other people, hundreds of other artists or projects and artists, really changes how you think and view and live in the city. For me, a festival has to do with a couple of things. One is that there are lots of things going on often at the same time that don't normally happen in that location. And at least that's the most interesting and exciting kind of festival for me. And I think, you know, it's an intentional event. It's an eye-opening event, but the results are unexpected. And so I think that the festival is this coming together of cultural producers and audiences in emergent and unexpected ways.
Creating space for the unexpected. That's Steve Dietz with NorthernLights.mn. They'll be coming up to the Grand Rapids area for a weekend in late September to put on a game along the river called Aquanesia. You'll be hearing more about this on KAXE KBXE as the time draws nearer. It looks to be a fun way to get a different view of the Mississippi. Steve says that a festival is a lot of things happening at once, which means no one individual can experience the whole festival. It takes all of us. And it means that however there you are when you're there, you can't catch everything. Here's an act at this year's Winnipeg Folk Festival that I was sorry to have missed, a group out of Birmingham, Alabama, called St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Light up
That's Les Cafeteros out of East L.A. They performed that song this year at the Winnipeg Folk Fest. I had been told that Mitch Podolak, who founded the Winnipeg Folk Festival 45 years ago and still attends every summer, was not too happy about the musical programming this year. The range of programming includes electronic, hip-hop, jazz, rave, funk, and good old rock and roll. Not enough folk music, I was told, he said. But I hope he caught that act doing Woody Guthrie. Anyway, it's all folk music because, as Utah Phillips used to say, you are the folk, Nespa. Back in 1974, when Mitch persuaded the Manitoba Arts Commission to back him up in bringing a bunch of folkies to the provincial park for a weekend, he had an idea that music is much more than entertainment and more than a product of the music industry. He'd grown up in a time when the official gatekeepers of the culture recognized folk music, if at all, as the handmaiden of communistic troublemaking propagandists. And then later, the protest of a generation against, well, the things that generation was against. 20 years earlier than Mitch started the folk festival, Pete Seeger had been convicted of the federal crime of contempt of Congress for refusing to cooperate with the House Un-American Activities Committee. Many of those, the artists and scientists, teachers and organizers, who, like Pete Seeger, refused to answer the committee's questions about what they believed or who they associated with or where they'd been, they would plead the Fifth Amendment, constitutional protection against self-incrimination. But Seeger pleaded the First Amendment, maintaining that the committee's attack on free speech was itself un-American. He explained, "The Fifth means they don't have the right to ask me. The First means they don't have the right to ask anybody." He never did serve prison time for it, but his successful career with the Weavers was strangled to death. No bookings, no radio, no television appearances. Even when the folk scare hit and acoustic and traditional music became a part of the music industry, Pete Seeger, one of its progenitors, was banned from public performance. Too dangerous. He finally got on TV in 1968, and even then, to have his anti-war song cut by the network censors. It was a dangerous idea, giving musicians permission to sing whatever they want. Still is. Here's a clip from the Johnny Cash television show in 1970.
That sound you hear is coming from a 100-year-old banjo called the fretless banjo. One of the few people I know that can play one is Mr. Pete Seeger. Welcome to my house. Glad to have you, Pete. That is a beautiful old banjo. That was given to me to give to you by a friend of mine, Bob Johnson, down at Chickamauga, Georgia.
Beauty. You know, in the old days when the Monkey Ward catalogs first started distributing banjos, they arrived in the mountains, people didn't know what to do with the frets. They filed them off flat. First banjos had no frets. You can do some things on them you can't on a regular banjo. Britches to my knees, roll my britches to my knees, roll my britches to my knees. Wait, old Cripple Creek, when I please. Going down Cripple Creek, going on a run, going around Cripple Creek, have a little fun.
That's nice. Pete Seeger on the fretless banjo. You're tuned to Stay Human on Northern Community Radio, whose broadcasts and live music programs receive support through everybody's shared resources in many different ways. The creative contributions of countless listeners and the many listeners who contribute money as members, the businesses in the area, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the State of Minnesota General Fund, the State and Regional Arts Boards, and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure we're all better off for it. I do know for sure that the fretless banjo changed my life. I can pinpoint exactly when I first heard one. I was living in Hackensack, Minnesota. The banjo was played live in studio by a traveling folk musician named Michael Cooney, who stopped in one afternoon at KXE's studios at Itasca Community College. August of 1978 it was. He was introduced by the station's announcer, who was so excited about it that he accidentally bumped his head into the microphone. When Cooney took out his fretless banjo with its free-flowing changes and echoes of Africa, that really got me glued to the radio. The reason I remember exactly when that was, at one point in a studio performance, Cooney started a song and had to stop because he was in the wrong tuning or something. As he corrected it, the radio host, a fellow by the name of Dick Brooks, asked him, "Does that bother you when you're in performance and make a mistake, have to start over?" "Hell no," said Michael Cooney. "I welcome it because, you know, the audience thinks they're just an audience. They think music is something that only professional musicians do. They do it perfectly on a record or in a concert, something that they could never do. But everyone can pick up an instrument, make mistakes, make music. It belongs to everyone," he said, "and you can do a lot more than you think." And I walked right over to the telephone. Back then, they were attached to the wall, and dialed 326-1234. I don't remember who answered the phone, but I think I was passed to Rich McClear, and I told him, "I'd like to come and work for you guys." "Well," he said, "we have a staff meeting on Thursday afternoon. Why don't you stop by and meet us?" Introduce me to a world of music and community building, and led me to become an acolyte of the festival spirit. The fretless banjo changed my life. I never got a chance to tell Michael Cooney that story, but I think he already knows it. He knows you never know who's listening and what it might mean to them. Stay tuned.
Up above my head, I hear music everywhere. Up above my head, I hear music everywhere. Up above my head, I hear music everywhere. I really do believe, I really do believe there's a joy somewhere. Up above my head, I hear music everywhere. I really do believe, I really do believe there's a joy somewhere.
Today on Stay Human, we're celebrating the festival spirit, and especially live music, because I'm still high from being part of the creative audience at a weekend sun-filled festival. But of course, it must look different to the artists on stage. Area writer and frequent contributor to this program, Matthew Miltich, performs at a lot of outdoor venues. And a festival he played last month gave him this story for us, Last Dance.
Saturday morning, the first day of a two-day festival, dawns gray and dreary. Already the day's heat, even here in northern Minnesota, begins to feel oppressive. The weather forecast calls for showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, lightning, damaging winds possible, potential for torrential rain. My son, a jazz guitarist and band leader with whom I perform frequently, calls to tell me the gig is on, despite the weather, in spite of the forecast. We're to perform under the big gazebo in Alcott Park, the big municipal park in Virginia, Minnesota. The promoters want to push through, which they must, I suppose, after making a very big investment in their festival. Our bandmates will meet us in the park, and we're scheduled to play at 2:30 this afternoon. Rain falls so fast as we drive toward Virginia, our windshield wipers can hardly keep up, and every few seconds, cloud-to-ground lightning rips across the sky over the Iron Range. This feels like a fool's errand. Outdoor music is always iffy. In this case, our own electronics, the pickups on our instruments, and our amplifiers will be patched into and dependent upon the sound system and the technicians the promoters have hired to amplify sound for bands to perform today and tomorrow. Wet conditions are dangerous for instruments and electronics and also for performers. Lightning, if it strikes nearby, is death for anyone on a live microphone. As we expect, at our arrival, the park is nearly deserted of festival goers. Rain continues to fall. The grounds are soggy. Standing water has pooled in every depression in the park. The booths of the artisans and crafters here assembled drip. Everything and everyone is wet, including, despite our rain jackets and our best efforts, and in mere seconds, we ourselves. Golf carts arrive to the festival gate to take us and our gear up to the band shelter, which they do, but somehow my trusty conductor's stand, which I've transported safely to gigs across the country from Eastport, Maine to Whidbey Island and Puget Sound, falls from a cart, an essential part shatters. Damn. Our soggy bandmates arrive first one, the rhythm guitarist, and then the other, the violinist, both dripping rainwater. We wait in the shelter as other performers play their sets to a tiny audience of damp, rain-suited, distant listeners under the few roofed benches out front. Thunder and lightning have departed, but rain falls intermittently. My bass bag is wet. During winter, I keep dampets in the F-holes of my string bass because indoor air in winter, especially in a house like mine, heated in part by wood stove, is at risk of drying so completely the wood of the instrument begins to crack. Today, the risk is that the glue holding all this beautiful wood together might literally melt. For me, the hardest part of any gig is waiting to play. I don't mean the ordinary 15 or 20 minute breaks between sets, which are welcome, even essential for players. Most musicians need a break after 50 minutes or more of performance. No, it's the wait before the gig begins, or as happens frequently at festivals, the long waits between sets that are hard for me. We play our first set at last. The few music lovers or appreciators out there applaud after each piece. Most of our tunes today are associated with Django Reinhardt and the quintet of the Hot Club of France. Old stuff, but I love it, and soon our set is complete. We won't play again for more than 2 hours, so Sam and the violin player and I hike out of the park and walk along on city sidewalks. We're dressed for the gig. I'm wearing a suit and tie, but I carry both my suit coat and rain jacket. I'm damp both from rain and perspiration. We visit the old neighborhood where my grandparents and my dad and his brothers and sisters once lived, which I visited many times as a child. Memories of those days come flooding back. Our last set is the last of the day for the festival. Most other musicians have departed. Just before we're to begin, the sound guy discovers the electric power has failed. Amplifiers, pickups, microphones, speakers are powerless for now, useless. Sam has with him a second guitar, an acoustic guitar, and goes off to fetch it from the car and returns. Each of us others plays an acoustic instrument today. The rain has stopped for the moment. We step out front of the gazebo and its shelter to play to the few listeners still waiting for music. We begin. Our instruments, though unsupported by electronic amplification, are designed to make music without it, so we simply play. We're last up, no one to follow us, and the festival day is nearly over. But the sun, after being hidden by clouds the day long, appears as we're about to conclude our set. Someone suggests the old standard on the sunny side of the street, so Sam calls it, plays the last 8 bars as introduction, and into the tune we go. An old couple, and I mean they're in their 80s or 90s, if I'm any judge, get up from a bench, come onto the smooth concrete surface before the bandstand and begin to dance, just the two of them. This seems very sweet, but as we play, as we watch, it becomes clear they've danced to this kind of rhythm many times. Their movements are those of the aged, so not exactly graceful, yet it's clear they know how to dance to this music, know each other's moves, and that if they're not exactly athletic just now, they have been so. Just as in my hometown, I see both the town of my childhood years and the new one that has in many ways replaced it. I see in these two both their present selves and my imagined vision of their younger ones. At one moment in their dance, when the woman executes a turn, the man expertly supports and guides, almost pushes her, though gently, through the movement. The weariness I felt day long, from the heavy atmosphere, from the rain and wet and general dreariness, evaporates at once. We simply play as the dancers, our very best audience, dance. When the song is done, they begin to shuffle off and away. But we begin then our closing tune, I'll See You in My Dreams, of which, as many times as I've played it, I've never grown weary. The elderly dancers, as the first notes reach them, abruptly turn and once more take the floor, if it can be called such. They dance until the final note. This is the conclusion of what seemed until now a very long day. But my own good fortune, as I grow older, is as clear to me this minute as the patch of blue sky just overhead. My work is play.
Thanks to Matthew Miltich for that. His stories can often be heard on Stay Human, and he can be heard on the upright bass with the Clearwater Hot Club, performing throughout Minnesota and around the world. Here's a cut the guys in that band favor from Django Reinhardt. Django Reinhardt on Stay Human, broadcasting at this time every week on KAXE KBXE and streaming at KAXE.org. Going to a festival just makes me want to go to more festivals. There's a lot of jazz festivals every season, too, in all the places you'd expect, New Orleans, Chicago, St. Paul, Montreal. But one I'd really like to check out is in Davenport, Iowa. That's the birthplace of Bix Beiderbecke, and every year at the start of August, they honor their native son with Iowa's premier jazz festival, this year featuring the Wolverines, and ending, as always, with the jazz services at the Presbyterian Church. Let the spirit move you. Thank you.
song is sad, never glad. Blue River, do you haul a memory of a vanished dream? Sing to me of lips I press and caress. Blue River, till I saw my hopes go drifting down the stream. Can't we both forget that bright summer night in our little canoe, when our blue eyes lost the light as we whispered adieu? When I hear your lonesome song, I know that something's wrong. Blue River, maybe it's because I'm just as blue as you.
Thank you. 'cause I love a bit of a dance. Oh, I cry, your love set my soul on fire. Your love set my soul on fire. Your love set my soul on fire. Set my soul on fire. Your love set my soul on fire. Your love set my soul on fire. Your love set my soul on fire. Set my soul on fire.
Hallelujah. Set my soul on fire.
Hallelujah. Set my soul on fire.
Hallelujah.
Set my soul. Set my soul on fire.
I got the Holy Ghost.
Set my soul on fire. Ooh, yes, set my soul on fire.
Set my soul on fire. Set my soul on fire. Set my soul on fire.
That's husband and wife duo Michael and Tanya Trotter performing as The War and Treaty. They were a sensation at this year's Winnipeg Fest, especially at the Gospel Tent. And so was the headliner who closed out the festival from the main stage Sunday night. I was squatting right up front with friends who had made sure to get front row seats. And while I was looking forward to hearing this act, the real thrill came from the ecstatic reception she got from the people right around me. Their excitement buzzed my blood even more than the music. Though I gotta say, Sheryl Crow does put on a heck of a show. And she did a brand new song, recorded here earlier this summer, live at the Isle of Wight Festival, Sheryl Crow.
Thank you so much. Can we do a new song for you? We got a new single out, and it's about the psychology and the practice of lying. Do any of you guys lie? That's what I thought. I didn't think you did. So we have a little bit of a confusion about what the truth is, you know. So this is called I Wouldn't Want to Be Like You. Tell me if you like it. Money is the Bentley parked on Main Street. Money are the new friends you make each week. Money is the inside guy at the bank. Money is the yacht right before it sank. Bet you never thought you'd be so rough. Bet you never thought it'd be so tough. You sell your soul for a piece of the pie. Now you can't sleep, so you don't even. Wouldn't wanna be like you. In the palm of a handshake. Money covers up all the evidence. Not taking all the money would have made the best sense. But you never thought you'd bleed this much. But you never thought it'd be so rough. You still could beat them at the game. But they wrote the rules, now you take the. Wouldn't want to be like you.
Shot and innocence, you know. gray suit and your blonde hair. And here's to the pimp and the ex-girlfriends. And on your head is the money they're spending. Here's to the diamond bracelet. Here's to the two-tall ankle bracelet. Here's to the days before you went down. Cause what goes around comes around. And I wouldn't wanna be like you. I wouldn't wanna be like you.
Sheryl Crow recorded live in festival performance. I'm Michael Goldberg. I hope you've got that festival spirit. I want to thank musician Matthew Miltich for his story of performing live outdoors and Steve Dietz for explaining to us what makes it a festival. We have time on this edition of Stay Human for one more act from Winnipeg 2018, an insane trio that started out playing for change in the New York City subway system, went on to back up Beyonce on her hit Daddy Lessons, and they really rocked the prairie up in Manitoba. Too Many Zoos.
Dun 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 d